This week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we are diving into breakups, divorce, and dating after all of these things. And also, we are talking about being a single parent and dating. So, stay tuned.
Hey, guys, welcome to the Ask Women podcast, where you get real advice straight from the source. I'm Kristen Carney, one of your hosts here, along with Marnie Kinross, best-selling author of Get Insider. Check out her stuff at wingirlmethod.com. We have a very lovely voice of man today on our show, Dave Hines.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. We got to do stuff together without seeing each other.
Right.
Which is kind of sometimes more pleasant.
Oh, yeah, you never met. I forgot
about
that.
Yeah, I was on the phone. Yeah. So it's nice to finally meet you.
It is nice to see you in person.
Yeah.
This is more fun.
Yeah,
is she
phone,
everything you pictured?
Worse.
Yes, you're even better.
Oh, amazing. Really, I really like to keep the standards low so then I can always go above and
through
beyond.
The roof.
Right.
That's
yeah.
Story of my life.
Yeah.
Well, we did Dave's show. So what's what is your show called?
The Dave Hines Show.
That's an easy thing to remember.
We kept it simple so I wouldn't forget.
Yeah.
It's like naming your dog Max. Like, it's
right.
Like the
it's
easy.
It's the only name.
The thing.
Yeah.
But we also have Kim Seltzer on the show. And you've been on our show before and you do a lot of coaching for men, et cetera.
Yes.
And women, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't discriminate.
I do. But so anyway, Marnie mentioned something about talking today about divorce and moving on. And so, I don't
Kristen's
know.
Got
go
some
for
big,
it. Yeah.
Kristen's got some big news. Well, speaking of divorce.
Not.
Yeah. I mean, I would say congratulations, to be honest. This is congratulations. I think anytime you're going to tell your news and
yeah, well now
people may say the same thing.
I'm not going to be full of myself, but now I'm afraid, like, guys are really like, can you go on a date with me?
Yeah.
But my boyfriend and I have 8 years, broke up. It's like official. He moved out.
Wow.
It's been a very long process of back and forth with should we not? And finally, I think both of us finally were mature enough to say, it's like the writing's on the wall. Like, literally, I wrote on the wall, like let me
out.
Go.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a really new experience for me, but also a positive one, but also sad.
Yeah, of course.
But
this is a divorce for you.
Yeah, total divorce.
For a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, except I get no money out of it. So.
Right. Next time,
yeah.
You'll know better.
Yeah.
Well, actually, maybe you can give some tips for people who maybe have been through this process or might be going through something similar, providing them with tips on how to know when the right time is to break up. Because you said it was a long, drawn-out process. Like, looking back at it now, would you have done it sooner?
Yeah.
What were the signs that it should have been done?
I mean, there's a lot of signs. It's kind of weird being on air and wanting to keep it a little PC, even
yeah.
though I hate PC stuff. But that's only when it comes to, like, race and
right.
stuff. But I would say that the minute you know, and life's short. And so I think for me, what we did was we were best friends. And so we were best friends for a really long time. And it was like we both felt like we would just lose our best friend. And then there would be no light at the end of the tunnel. Like, we'd never find a best friend again. We would be alone. And actually, it's interesting because we're on really good terms right now. Who knows what it will be next week and the following week. But
right.
we've been pretty cool. And so he's on Bumble and Tinder.
Oh, wow.
And I'm on, like, Bumble and Tinder and whatever, just for fun. You know, I'm not looking to get into, like, another relationship. It was just more like him and I kind of described it as we've both been in, like, a dark room for 8 years. And all of a sudden we're like, whoa, there's a whole world out there. Like, we yeah. opened the window or the door and it's like, oh, let in the air. And so it feels really refreshing. So, I mean, I think I would say to people that are thinking about doing it or procrastinating doing it, that it's the best. If you feel it, you should just do it and do it sooner because it's harder as you go along. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we mm-hmm. kind of broke up like 4 years ago, and then we kind of broke up 5 years ago, and then we kind of broke up 6 years. And so it's like, and so I had said, because this is 8 years, and I said, I don't want to do this at 10 years because it's going to happen at some point.
Right.
We both know it is. And it's the lower the number, the better, even though it's still a pretty high number.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay. Interesting. Well, actually both of you have yeah. experience with separation, divorce as well. Hearing what Kristen said, is there anything that you can add to that? Maybe some signs to look for that this may not be a good partner for you?
Boy, that's tough. Like, I think for a man too, I've had a harder time breaking up, because women are usually the ones who end a relationship.
Yeah, statistically, they've actually proved that.
And mm-hmm. so as a guy, it's much easier to just kind of let it happen, because then you get to be the victim.
Right. Yeah, I wanted him to break up with me so bad.
Right.
Because you have to do the hard work.
Exactly.
When you're doing the breaking up. You have to do the heartbreaking, and like basically what it feels like is that like there's like a little puppy in the middle of the road who just got hit by a car, and either I can shoot him and put him out of his misery or take him to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's kind of how I envisioned my boyfriend, which was like, I'm just going to kill this thing that I could also maybe try to help and fix. But right. But it's like I knew that wasn't the right thing for it. It was going to suffer anyway.
Wait, so did you do it?
So I was the one that did it.
Yeah, and then was it as bad as you thought in your head?
The actual moment of doing it, yes, as bad as imagined, awful, horrible, terrible.
Yeah.
But then like the three or four days later, all of a sudden it started to feel like the grass was getting a little bit greener or something. Mm-hmm. And I all of a sudden felt like, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And also he's dealt with it in a really positive way where he's been really friendly. We've been talking.
That's awesome.
He went out he's been going out on a date with this girl a couple times, this new girl. So we've already talked about like who this girl mm-hmm. he's already seeing.
So maybe you'll just become best friends.
I think if that's what's happening, if he's doing that, then you have a good shot of being friends.
Yeah. Because I always had said to him, if I leave, I don't want to lose you as a friend. And he's like, well, you will. I'll never speak to you again.
That's
yeah.
how I mm-hmm. always say that.
Yeah. I will never speak to enough. You know, like, it's no place for friendship. It's over. Plus, that's how I'll move on, is by, like, just Xing you completely out of my life. And so that's part of why I held on, was because I didn't want to lose that friend. And so this time around when I did do it, I didn't think he was going to be my friend. And I really had to mourn the loss of...
your Seinfeld mate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I really thought that wasn't going to be the outcome. And I feel really happy that this is turning out to be the outcome, because I did not expect it. So when I went into this breakup, I went into it knowing I have to let go of everything because we're never going to speak again.
It's really hard.
Yeah. So it was really, really hard.
That's hard. I mean, 8 years is a long time, too. Yeah. And a lot of times I find that people stay in things for reasons that have to do with the past.
Exactly.
Like hanging on to the memories, hanging on to the friendships and the social circle that you've built together, your identity together as a couple. And you're like ripping that off like a Band-Aid. And that's the pain that you want to avoid, is that Band-Aid ripping off.
Yeah.
But in the end, it'll heal. And that's where the magic starts happening.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell clients when they're thinking, to answer your question, when they are thinking about breaking up after a long relationship or divorce, either way, I have them do a cost-benefit analysis, kind of like you do in the financial world. And I like it better than pro and con, because sometimes we think what our benefits actually are costing us a lot. And if you put it out on paper and you see it.
Okay, and can you give an example? Sorry.
So like, you know, if the cost of staying in the relationship is, you know, causing like you to lose yourself, maybe there's abuse happening. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons. Everybody has different reasons. And those are pretty heavy costs. And then you look at the benefits, and the benefits are, well, we had a good time. We like the same
food.
We
laugh together.
We laugh. Yeah.
When I have a black eye, we're like sitting on the couch laughing.
He consoles me. Yeah.
When you're reaching back to a weekend in Cozumel as a reason to stay in your relationship,
that
that's
time
not
in Bali,
sign.
We
that's
laugh
right,
together.
Right.
Yeah.
I found myself doing that. Looking back on those like we had really great time when we traveled here and that's I don't think I can have that same experience with someone else. It was so much fun, but then the day-to-day you know was not outweighing that eventually.
Exactly. Right? So when the costs outweigh the benefits, that's when you know.
Right.
Yeah. I think that every guy, like, you have that moment afterwards where like, I need to get away. I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to do that. Yeah. And then it's different for every person, because different people from my past have come back in different ways and it's been okay. I think a guy kind of has to reconcile that himself, and maybe he reconciles that by dating someone else. And then if you're dating someone else, he needs to be dating someone else for him to be okay.
Right.
Also though, that's not on you to make him okay anymore.
Exactly.
I think he had to realize
that about himself for me too, because mm-hmm. he was always concerned with me and how to make me feel okay, because I, you know, struggle in LA and all that kind of stuff. So he had to really let go of that
supporting
feeling
you
as well. Yeah,
right. And also just for you to not be upset and irritated about anything is better for him. And so when you walk away from a relationship like that, it's really tough. And I feel like when I've broken it off with somebody, I had all the feelings that I had when I was dumped. I had all those same, I miss this person. Mm-hmm. I really care about this person. And I had the bad part of knowing that I did that to them too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because unless a relationship breaks off in some big heated way, like if there's not an explosion and it's just we've grown apart,
right.
That's
it's
really
harder.
Difficult. You need a catalyst. Guys need that. And I think,
yeah,
you know, if he's got some, you know, maybe that's why they cheat. Maybe, I don't know. But I think that if there's not some way for him to reconcile it being over, then that's when it gets really messy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about after the breakup? Like, honestly, I've never seen you so happy, Kristen.
Glowing.
She's glowing. Are you pregnant? Like,
dear God.
Yeah, exactly. Horrible. Pull you back in. But I know that some people have difficulty, you know, after they do pull the trigger and they do break up. So what are some things like to do after you break up? You're fresh with it. So that's fantastic. You're saying, like, I'd love to hear what you're doing right now. I'd love to hear what you guys did after your breakups.
Well, that's something that I was always really afraid of. I was like, I'm going to go through this breakup and then be completely alone in a dark apartment. And that's going to be it.
Like in a stray jacket.
Yeah. I really thought I would just be like super damaged. And but like I said, it took a few days of you have to go. I think the thing is, too, is you can't not go through the bad days,
right.
Which sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you want to hear, oh, no, you just do it. And then you feel great after you don't. And you really just have to like feel those emotions and be down or just sleep for, you know, 2 or 3 days or whatever. You really have to do that. And I'm totally into sleep, so it worked out for me.
Yeah. Those were your happiest days.
I was feeling great. This is the first time I've actually had to... No, it's not. So I really went through those dark moments. And then it was interesting because he said to me, you should go on a date with someone.
Like, no.
In text. Yeah. Mm. And I didn't have any dates planned. I wasn't on Bumble or Tinder. And this was probably 2 Fridays ago or something like that. And I wrote, it just seems like a lot of effort to like get a date. And I'm just really not in the emotional state to want to go out with someone. And so he wrote back, well, I am. He has a date. I'm like, oh, my God. Wow.
Did that hurt you?
Well, it was interesting because I didn't ask for it. He sent me a picture of her.
What?
Which, yeah. Like,
well, inappropriate, but anyway.
Yeah. Like,
because, what was that about?
Yeah, and she's really cute. And so then I was like, oh, well, screw her.
Yeah. Now I'm going to screw somebody else.
Yeah.
But I'm See like, what well, he did?
I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
But then it didn't work out with her. So we've totally been in touch like friends. So
it's interesting.
Because I said how to go. Like the next morning he had texted me. I was like, how was it with that girl? And he was like, yeah, she was a little flaky, but I actually met a couple of her friends and I really like one of her friends. And
wow.
I was like, well, alrighty then. And he said, so we're going to go out tomorrow or something. And so then they did. And then I saw him because he had to stop over at the apartment because he moved out and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so when he stopped over, he told me about, or he told me he was going out there again. And then how it was after when I saw him again, how it went and how much he liked her. He thought she was really cool and
you
funny.
You guys are really meant to be friends. That's interesting.
Well, what was interesting is I was totally cool with it. And then that night I had this really terrible nightmare. So I think subconsciously I wasn't okay with it. When we were talking about it, I was like, I totally felt like best friends with him.
Yeah.
You know, like his girlfriend or his sister, or not girlfriend, like a friend or a sister. Mm-hmm. And then that night I had a nightmare about that girl because he sent me a picture of the new girl too.
Wow.
Who's also really cute.
Great.
And so in my dream, we were still together and he was cheating on me with her and she got he got her pregnant and I was this like outsider that he hated who was like a bad and he wanted to be with her and so it made me and so the next morning I was like I think we should probably cool it with the
pictures.
exchanging
dreams
of information
are dangerous for men.
Yeah,
dreams are very dangerous.
it made me feel like the next morning like really crazy,
right?
Yeah.
And so I really had to say like let's ixnay on the girl nay whatever
Earl
gay. Yeah,
that's
for a little while.
That's bad form to do that.
He agreed. He was like, you know what? I was talking. He was like, he's seeing a therapist, and he was like, I was talking to my therapist, and she recommended like we should cool it on that kind of thing, especially for at least a year or something.
Yeah, like no visuals needed.
Yeah.
If I were him, I would.
Here's me and her having sex. Like you don't need that.
I know.
Do you want to see this video?
Right. Well, he won't send me here. It's funny because I was like, I could totally tell he cropped out her name from like the picture was from like Facebook or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, I love how you cropped out the name. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to have you like
I'm not going to show you everything.
No, but he's like, you're going to like write to her. I'm like, what?
Who do you think?
I'm not psycho. I'm not psycho. And I'm like, tell me your name. He's like, no. I'm like, all right, screw you then.
So. But it's interesting because sometimes people do think, and to your point, Dave, mm-hmm. that it almost like there needs to be some sort of drama or thing happen mm-hmm. to cut it off. Like maybe yeah. trying to get a reaction out of you that justifies in his mind that, you know, it's okay if yeah. you get pissed at him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then in your mind, you're having these nightmares and you got to move on, right, and, you know, right, that kind right. of thing. Because when things are amicable, it's almost harder, like what mm-hmm. you were saying.
Yeah. I think subconsciously it's definitely mm-hmm. harder.
So would you recommend that people who do break up take a little bit of a break from one another?
I am in the full belief of going cold turkey.
Yeah. Well, that's what everything online, like yeah. if I Googled like how to go through a breakup, everything's like just do not talk to the person, yeah. take away a lot of, you know, take off the pictures and just mm-hmm. really clear them from your brain and your mind.
Yeah.
And well, I did do like a little cleansing in terms, like I took off all the pictures from my phone and put, yeah. I, they're on my computer, but I don't ever look at them on my computer. So I totally emptied out my phone of the pictures. So I like started with zero pictures, which was kind of nice to just kind of
yeah,
feel
fresh
like
start.
Fresh start. He bought a new car. You know, so he's mm-hmm. doing things as well mm-hmm. for fresh start and
yeah,
you know, and I was happy for him. He sent me a picture of it and he's like, I just feel like this is a good way to kind of continue to move forward.
Yeah, which I think is good. I'd say cut people out for at least 3 months, just sort of get some separation. And then what do you do? I mean, Kristen's already back out there a little bit, which is kind of yeah. awesome. But like what, so how do you start that process? Like what is it like getting back out there after you've been in a relationship? Because I do want to make one comment. I do find that what happens with a lot of my clients is that they break up. And then they take a break. They work on themselves totally, or sometimes they don't really take a complete break. They just dive mm-hmm. right into it. And then they jump into situations with women where they're still in relationship mode and they've been in, the women have been in dating mode for a very long time. So it's a mishmash and they come across as eager or too needy or too boyfriendy. And that can really screw a lot of guys. So, Dave, I'll actually ask mm-hmm. you, like what do you advise to guys or what did you do so that you didn't come off that
way? I think
way?
So much of it, you know, first off, so much of it depends on where you are. Yeah. Being in LA now, it's a very different, you know, thing for me. There's what 20 million people here. Of course we can find another one. Right. But when I grew up in Missouri and I lived in a fairly small, like Branson, if you know where that is, that's where I grew up. The Nashville and Vegas collide right there. It's great. But
sounds awesome.
Basically, like the lots whole metro area, maybe 400,000 people. So not a lot of people, more small town. But it's just big enough that you think there's a lot of people out there until you start dating people. And they all know each other.
Her name's ex.
Right, oh, right. That whole you're so-and-so's ex-husband. And yeah. I think you just kind of have to move beyond that. And as a guy, number one, always say nice things about her, about the woman the in ex. Your past. Mm. There's no way to – you don't gain anything.
Well,
even if
talk-
she tried to stab you, you should be like, she's sweetheart, and she tried to stab me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you,
in
you
the
should,
leg,
you should
not
to,
in the heart.
To an extent, because I had the kid that I dated, this kid I dated in Chicago. I haven't dated that many people, but he always talked about his ex-girlfriend to me.
Oh, gosh.
And so that was, and then they got together for, and they were actually together for like 8 years also, and they broke up recently.
Yeah.
But anyway, he talked about her constantly, like how great her artwork was and how cool she was, and it was like the worst. It made me feel super bad about myself and super insecure. Mm. So, and I don't think you should talk shit about your ex.
Yeah, I don't think
ex.
You have to have a glowing review for the ex either.
I think
it should be, we're over, didn't work out, that sucks.
Yeah, and if they want to ask questions, I think if the person wants to ask questions about that ex,
right.
that they can, and I think you can, should give like an open discussion about it. But otherwise, I think talking too much about it can be annoying for them.
I think as a man.
Yeah, and shows that you're not over it.
Yeah, exactly.
And especially like, well, your relationship, I would equate more to a marriage. I mean, 8 years yeah. is a long time.
Yeah, we were actually like common law.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
married or
it
something.
Doesn't exist in California, but if you were anywhere else, it would be after 5 years, you would have been common law.
Really? Yeah.
And
you could have gotten some money. Damn.
I know. I thought about that.
So the quick version, I think, as a guy, is you need a 1-2 sentence summary of where you
yeah.
were
yeah.
4 months ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And just like my ex-wife, she had an affair with a guy that she worked with. They moved in together right after she moved out of my place, they got married.
Wow. It's traumatizing.
It is.
Yeah.
But they're still together as far as I know, and it's in my best interest for them to be happy forever.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what it is. I'm better off in my life, whether it's because she's not in it. I
right.
doubt it, but I've managed, you know, my life didn't fall apart. And so
that's good.
I gain nothing by wishing them ill will. I mean, right. they both suck.
Yeah, you could be honest.
They both,
yeah, let's be real.
Like,
she's a fucking cunt. But
right,
like,
I forgot.
Good luck.
I forgot. Like, see, from, you know, on my show, I'm not allowed to cuss. So, Mom, turn this off real quick. I know you'd like to listen, but I'm gonna fucking cuss.
Yeah.
But seriously, I think that if you can do things to not freak out the new woman, because these girls are always scared. Like, if you were married before, I think the next woman that, when she finds out that she's the next woman that you've dated after you were married, I think you need to be really careful with that.
Yeah, well, I did go on a date, and that kind of came up because this is the first date I've ever gone on.
Right.
But I won't go on a date with someone, like, just to really go.
You want
to
like them.
I want to like them somehow or see some sort of connection or something like that. So I didn't think I would go on any dates right away. I really didn't. But he was cool, but also kind of persistent. And I met him on Bumble. But he didn't realize that it was 2 weeks ago, basically, that we had broken up. And I had said that I just kind of said it just talking as if he knew that. And he was like, whoa, 2 weeks? He's like, I'm the rebound guy. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't want to be the rebound guy. Aww. I'm like, you're not the rebound guy. You're just the first person that was interesting. And you seem really cool. I didn't really know how to say it. But yeah, it was like that came up and I didn't really know how to make him not feel bad about it. But what I try to say is I don't go on dates with just anybody. Like, that's kind of how I try to angle it. But it will come up and it will be a sensitive subject for them. Because they know, right, we were out with something for many years. You're probably not going to settle in with the first person you meet.
Yeah. Well, Kim, do you have any advice on that? How a guy can reassure the person sitting across from him that she's just not a distraction?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple of things, because you had asked before, like, how do you get back out there? And everybody has different journeys, right? Like, the length of the relationship is a variable. How old you are is a variable. If you have children, it's a variable. So there's not, like, a generalized answer for everybody. But I will say that when you have been in a relationship for a very long time, your identity gets wrapped up with the couple. And so the first thing I tell people is, like, rediscover who you are separate from your partner. And it doesn't mean necessarily putting pressure on yourself to date. Like, I don't even like to use the word date. I like to use the word just go out and be social. Like, be around male energy, you know? Like, and so what? You went on a date with a guy, but that's awesome. Just to see yourself in that way again.
Yeah, really.
Right? I mean, practice flirting.
Yeah.
Like, having fun.
I was so nervous, too, because I really did feel like a divorcee who hasn't dated in many, many years going back out there. And, you know, like Marnie said, like, you mentioned something early, you know, in the top of the show about how to do it, which we're all talking about right now, so I don't need to refer back to that.
Yeah.
But I did feel uncomfortable with, like, my standards with my ex-boyfriend was I could be gross. I could be seen with no makeup.
Right.
I could have a bloated stomach, and I could kind of fart a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was pretty freaking gross. This guy I went on a date with, I can tell, is really into very attractive
You probably couldn't fart
women.
On the date.
I didn't fart on the date.
That's bad.
I did.
Not this one.
I'll do it on the second one.
Yeah.
But basically, all of a sudden I started questioning myself. Like, am I enough for this other person? Because I've been so gross for so long that now it's someone's going to see me for the first time.
Yeah.
And so I felt tons of physical pressure to look pretty and to be everything that, like, you'd want someone to be that you want to date, rather than before I could just be like a total mess. And so that's a new thing.
So that's what happens, is that your confidence gets shot,
right?
Because confidence has to do with experience. And when you haven't had experience dating in a really long time, you're like, oh my God, like, I'll never forget when I first was divorced and I got back out there and I, like, went into this jungle. It was like the battlefield, and I'm like looking at all these, like, pretty women, and they're all dressed up, and I'm in my frumpy mommy clothes with the nursing bra underneath and, like, Birkenstocks. I mean, this is truly my story.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at across at these aliens, Dave, like, you were an alien at that point. And I was like, I do not even know what to do with you. Like, you know, and in fact, I wouldn't even make eye contact with you. So it's just even, like, those little body language and nuances that you have to get used to again. But once you start practicing and getting out there, it's so much fun. And I always encourage people, get involved in passions and hobbies that maybe you haven't in a long time, and things that make you tick, things that make you happy,
find
and fill
yourself
up.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I haven't taken time to do that. And so I went into this like, do I have anything to offer? Like, you know, because I do feel like I've been wrapped up with my ex-boyfriend for so long that was my whole personality or something. Like, he got my jokes, he knew my thing, like, but I didn't really feel like with going into this one that I could open up a world to this person for some reason, because I felt very closed into just what I've known for so long, which is kind of being isolated.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I wasn't bringing like
value.
And I know I was to an extent, but I just thought, what do I even talk about?
That's interesting. I can see how that would happen.
When you've been in a relationship that long, it's like all you know about single men are what your single friends have told you and what you've seen on TV and social media.
Right.
Which is not real.
Right.
That's all a bunch of crap. It's just like a guy who's been in a marriage and he's been doing nothing but looking at magazines and figures that that's what women are like, and like reading Cosmo or whatever and thinking like, well, women really do think about this. They really are going to put me through the 10-step quiz of if I'm a good lover by the size of my index finger or something. All this weird stuff. You're terrified by all that. You're scared. Like, but as you go through everything more smoothly and you realize, like, you know, all those things like burping, farting, and your inside
in
jokes.
Yeah.
You earn those in the relationship.
Right.
You earn all that comfort, comfort, that sustainability and that understanding. You have to earn that with a person.
Right. But it was almost just like I was like, wow, I'm actually gross. Like I have to. I know I'm not really gross, but I went into it, how do I even match up? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
He goes on dates. He's, you know, dated a lot. He's a single guy in his 30s and he's got a good job. And so he has like standards. And all of a sudden I was like, whoa, I really don't feel adequate.
And he is also terrified that you will discover that none of that is true. That is.
Yeah,
that
we're all phony.
We are all scared of you, like in some way or another. But like he's out on that date. And all of a sudden now that he found out that you're 2 weeks out of a long-term relationship, now he's handling dynamite and he's got to be careful.
Right.
So
actually let's go back to that question. How does, mainly men listening to the show, how does a guy relay the information to a woman, or how does Kristen, same thing, relay that information that it's okay, I'm good to go, or
yeah, that I'm no longer super,
I'm not breakable, I'm not
something.
Damaged. Like, what is the way for her to, or for him to express that message to the person that's sitting across from them?
I think you have to act as if.
I was just gonna say, don't say it, because if you say it. That means you're still.
I'm so great.
Let me tell you,
I'm
so awesome.
If it comes out, oh, you just broke up 2 weeks ago. What is the way to handle that response? So I always say, be honest with tact, right? And you have to honestly say, you know what? The truth is that we've been going through this breakup for about 8 months. I was over it 8 months ago, and now we finally separated. And I'm excited and ready to get back into the dating world, and I'm very happy to be sitting across from you. I don't just say yes to every single date.
Yeah.
So also, something like that.
Prepare ladies for the man that you broke up with. When he does come around, there's a good chance that he's going to be like, she didn't say anything until it was the very end. And because that's true.
Yeah.
Like, she was probably, you might have been sending these signals for a while and stuff. And he's like, I didn't feel like it. Now, it sounds like your story is a lot different.
Yeah, a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you guys kind of had a mutual thing, which is why, like, he has had the time. He had the time to get over it while you guys were still technically together.
Yeah, and I see that.
Just like
I
you did.
I will say that was a surprise.
You're very lucky.
Came as a surprise, and I am lucky. But I thought it was going to be really hard for him for a really long time. But it's funny, too, because he moved to downtown L.A.
Oh, wow.
In a cool warehouse-y space with roommates. And they're really, like, these, like, cool, apparently, like, these super trendy guys. Yeah, I'm like, now you're desirable.
Yeah.
got a new car. But he... when I saw him, he was already kind of dressing a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see how positive it was for him that he's just like with me. He was kind of doing the same thing, just being gross.
Yeah.
Like just dressing super sloppy, not caring. And all of a sudden I saw him looking like he was caring. And it didn't make me want to get back with him, but it made me happy that he was already willing or knowing that he needs to do that and wanted to do it.
Yeah. So a few tips from this conversation. If you do get into a relationship, don't ever let yourself get gross, because then it leads to very bad places.
Yeah.
For guys who are listening, I think it's interesting for them to hear the female perspective on what they go through after they've been through a divorce. And they're not like these chipper ladies who are eager and ready and comfortable yet to get out there. They are also sometimes insecure or uncomfortable and, you know, getting into the, what is it called, a waiting pool? Like shallow end, whatever. Yeah. They're still, you know, wobbly on their feet a little bit. That's nice for guys to hear that they experience the same things. After the break, so we have to take a break now, we're going to talk about being a single parent and getting back into dating. And then we're going to do some overanalyze this question. So we'll be back after this.
How to smoke a cigar. Smoking a cigar is just one of life's great pleasures. And like many things, proper handling is paramount to a good time. First, a good cut is everything. Make sure you have a cigar cutter on hand. Please, gentlemen, no biting. Place the cigar cutter approximately 3 to 4 millimeters from the line, and in one swift motion, sever the cap from the cigar. You may see some cigar smokers lick their cigar, but don't ever do this. Unless you look like her. In which case, always do this. A cigar must be lit with patience. You don't want to spoil the experience. Always use cedar matches or a butane lighter, and steer clear of matches with sulfur. Hold your cigar at a 90-degree angle above the flame. Twist the cigar until the end is evenly charred. Now place the tip of the cigar between your lips, with a flame still underneath, while occasionally blowing on it to ensure an even burn. A few tips to remember. Never inhale. Remove the band from the cigar once it becomes loose from the heat. Allow the ashes to gently fall off the cigar. And always remember, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Thanks for listening to Playboy Radio. You want to hear more? Catch us on TuneIn.com/Playboy. We promise you won't be disappointed.
Want advice and step-by-step instructions on how to get the girl sent right into your mailbox every single day? Then sign up for your free Wing Girl Method newsletter at winggirlmethod.com/advice. When you sign up, you'll also get a free copy of my best-selling book, 10 Devastating Mistakes Men Make with Women and How to Avoid Them. Go to winggirlmethod.com/advice and sign up now.
Hey, this is Justin Willman, comedian and magician.
It's your girl, Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the movie Top 5.
Hey, this is Dr. Buck Parker from NBC's The Island. You're listening to Playboy Radio.
Playboy Radio.
PlayboyRadio.com.
The only station to listen to.
Thanks for listening to PlayboyRadio.com. Now, back to the show.
Passed out.
Hey, guys. So we were just talking about how Dave was on 4 dates with this one girl who got drunk every time. And like they didn't even make out. Girls, don't do that. That's
if you're
really
going to get
obnoxious.
Drunk, make
you know
out.
Yeah. Yeah, take advantage.
That's the thing. Like, she got a few songs written about her.
There
she was a great muse because of that, because I could not figure it out.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm going to lose respect for you if every time you go out and get hammered. But
it would
the
be
one
weird.
Time,
I would say vice versa. Like, if I'm out on a
date
with a guy, unless I'm an alcoholic too, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. But if I'm on a date with a guy and like maybe he drinks the first time, I can be understanding. Okay.
Nervous.
Nervous, it's fine. But if you're drinking and slurring every single date, I'm not going on a
If every goodnight kiss ends with you, like, kind of...
Like, vomit in his mouth?
Like, kind of wobbling and
like
stuff.
He tried like, he has to follow your mouth to try to get to it, to kiss it.
I was literally worried that she was going to make it up the stairs inside her building. The one flight, like, a couple of times, yeah.
That she wasn't going to make it?
That, like, she was going to fall walking up the stairs as I was watching her. I'm sure it looked like I was checking out her ass, but it was honestly, like... This is me, like, okay, what... If she falls, like, can I get up there and catch her?
Right.
Do we just let her go all the way to the bottom?
She should have just crawled. It's a safer bet.
I think that's kind of what happened.
Can I just highlight the fact, because this is a good segue in what we're talking about, that when you go through this, like, kind of rites of passage, you know, after the relationship, you literally go through adolescence all over again.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
I actually think I bought Clarisil, too. Like, I really, like, I look different. I started acting like that teenage girl again. It was like going back in time.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, a lot of people sometimes feel guilty and bad about like these experiences that you're talking about, the drunken days or even having that transitional romance where you go with the younger guy just to get your sexual mojo back. And and for men, they do the same thing with the women. That's the rites of passage. Like, you should be doing that. That's part of, you know, kind of learning who you are again. So I just want to kind of put that out there because sometimes people feel bad about that. And I almost get worried when you didn't have that kind
experience.
Of thing.
Right.
Exactly. Well, did you find... a lot of your married friends were kind of jealous when you were first single?
Totally. What was so funny is that, like, imagine. All of a sudden, all these people started, like disclosing things to me, like, yeah. Well, actually, I'm really unhappy with my marriage. What's it like? Mm-hmm. You know, they were so almost like intrigued.
Like you made it to the other side.
Yeah, you did it.
It was like discovering the Matrix when I got divorced. Like all these other people were divorced too. Yeah. And this is what they're thinking.
Well,
this
is how you want to be divorced.
This is the thin ice that everyone else's marriage is skating on.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost like holy I picture shit. The divorce person. They went through like, they were like Indiana Jones. Like they went through this like elaborate course to get to the other side of where it was good. And so it's like you're like the hero. Really, you know, you're the Indiana Jones. Like,
totally.
Wow, they did it.
Right.
Got to through the Temple of Doom.
And, exactly. And you get out and there's this utopia. And because I think a lot of times
crazy.
People talk about divorce like gloom and doom. And I'm like, hell no. If it's not working, the gloom and doom was the marriage. Yeah. You know,
that's why I say congratulations to anybody who has a breakup or divorces. Because it is. It's like, first of all, that's a hard thing to do.
It is. It's
and
absolutely
it's like,
hard.
Wow. Congratulations. You get like this wonderful new start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to you about being a single parent because somebody had written into me. I'm horrible that I don't even have his email pulled up, but he sent me the cutest picture of him and his little daughter. And like, he said, talk about it on your podcast. So we've talked about this before on our show, but obviously it's always great to have, you know, a refresher. People can't go back to episode 74 or whatever it was that you were on. But I just want to give like a few tips to people who are single parents and dating. So maybe the first tip would be, how do you find time? Or how do you put aside time to actually get out there and be single and then date? Like, how do you do that?
I mean, I think that's just it, is that you have to make time. You have to compartmentalize almost parts of your life so that you dedicate some of that for yourself. And guess what? When you do that, you are a better parent. I think the biggest mistakes that parents make is that they get all into their children and they put 100% of their energy into the children because there's guilt attached to it. They have to navigate the custodial schedule. It's like there's a lot that's going on. But then they lose themselves in the midst of it. And then they're stressed out. They're overwhelmed. Then the fallout of, you know, distressed parent, that's not good for the children. So, I mean, I'm making it sound easier than done, but I went through it. I mean, and it took a lot of work. And
I'm sure you feel guilty when you're out doing something as
you
well.
Totally
it's like you
do.
You don't just do it and then it's done.
And everything that you know about dating before, like spontaneity, adventure, that's gone. Like, when can I get my babysitter? No, I only, you know, have the kids on Saturday and Sunday. I can only go out Wednesday, Thursday. Like, there are things that you don't think about. And
well, I just can imagine how intense it is, because when I was on my date, I was like, oh, no, I got to worry about my dog. I got to, like, get back to get my dog.
Oh, right.
And that's a freaking dog. Yeah. I wasn't worried about the cat. I was like, the cat will
be fine for a few days.
Yeah.
Well, and not to mention, like, how not sexy you feel when, you know, if you have, like, young kids and you have, like, pacifiers falling out of your purse you know, like, things like that. But I think that the biggest thing is, like I said before, get back to who you are, do things that make you happy, pamper yourself, fill yourself up. And then when you have some dedicated time, like when you don't have the kids, and if you're lucky enough to have a spouse who takes them part of the time, use that time for you and, you know, get back out there. You know, I always say build out your dating portfolio, just like a financial portfolio. You got to diversify as much as possible, like do the online dating, look for events, do kind of some social planning to get also a social circle. What a lot of people forget is that your friends that you know usually are married and they're gone. Like, they're nice and they're great. And I loved my married friends, but they didn't get it. Like, they didn't get even just the whole, like, sexual energy and how to be flirty and get back out there. So I always tell people, make sure you have a good set of single friends. My life changed.
Yeah.
I got my first, like, Sex and the City girlfriends. Yeah. And we went out. And that's when I learned how to flirt, how to put myself out there. It was, like, an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Because I think it's not healthy for someone in a marriage. It's not healthy for their marriage for them to be, like, going through that transition with you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to pull that vortex there.
Well, yeah, and then there's, like, sides, right?
Yeah.
So, like,
oh, yeah, that's the other
friends
thing.
That
so
were
difficult.
Friends with the dad, and then they take their side. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, the Montagues and Capulets, and it becomes this war almost between the friendships.
Yeah.
So building out a new social circle is huge, and I would say it's, like, one of the first things that you should really try to do.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm jealous of the schedule of single parents because they can.
We get a break.
Yeah, you get a break.
Totally.
I've mentioned that to my husband. I'm like, what if we just did this? Like, one weekend, yeah, you go live somewhere else, take our child. Like, that would be absolutely
role
amazing.
Play.
Yeah. So it is funny when I do hear people
divorces.
Who are single, yeah. Yeah, single parents
oh my God,
who
I love that.
Have that break because they have their, mm-hmm. you know, ex taking the kids and they still say, I can't find time. To go out. I can't find time to date right now. I'm married, right? Yeah. That's a real excuse, right?
Right.
But if you have 2 days off or 1 day off a week, that's the day that you dedicate to going out and being social. If that's the only time that you actually have to go out, then that's your day.
Exactly. And also it depends on the age of the kids, right? If you have young ones, that's a different kind of time element than if you have teenagers, you know, who are kind of independent and out and about. But yeah, like what I see, especially because we have a lot of male listeners, obviously, what men struggle with is also their identity mm-hmm. as like Mr. Mom and businessman. Like that's a hard transition for guys.
Right.
And
does it
they're,
hurt their ego or
they're learning
kind of being Mr. Mom? Is that what you mean?
I don't know if it's hurting. They just it's a learning curve.
Yeah, because they don't know how to do
it.
They
don't know how they've had
do.
You, their wife
men hate
doing it for so long.
Not being good at things.
Right, yeah. Right. I realize what you mean.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, learning how to like, you know, drive the kids to school and the carpool and cook and
yeah,
like
the
little things that maybe mom took care of.
Yeah.
But actually what's and I've heard this from many, many dads is that they become a better dad because of it, because they're forced into something that that they're just more involved.
The wife had been doing for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then your ex is like, why couldn't you do this when we were married? Yeah. I love you now. And then it's like, ah, no, I totally understand that. Those are fantastic things. How do you or when do you communicate to your children that you're getting back out there? Hmm. Or do you say that you're going to go meet other people?
I wrote a whole article on this in Huffington Post because it is a big issue. And again, like there's no universal answer to it because there's a lot of variables. There's the age of the kids. There is how long the marriage was, how long you've been like dating, what your goals are for dating. I would say, you know, in general, it's really, really like be careful. Be careful of including the kids too much, especially when you're just getting out there, because your goal is probably just to get your feet wet again, to date. You're not looking for a relationship necessarily. A lot of, you know, people mistakenly include the kids in the beginning phases of dating, and then the kids get kind of caught up in the relationship, mm-hmm. and then there's a double loss.
Right.
When that doesn't work out. So, you know, I think that if you're in a space and there's been a lot of time and you're ready to really look for that partner and you're dating somebody for a while and you think that it's going to go somewhere, yeah, you can slowly introduce it. Mm-hmm. And it also depends on if that other person has kids, right? So then you're having a blend of the kids meeting each other. So, again, it's just looking at everything really carefully.
And I think you need to remember, too, like men, I've dated several women. I don't have kids myself, but I've dated women who have kids. And the biggest thing that I felt was there was this whole new wrinkle in the relationship of you're worried at a certain level that you're going to let a woman down. Either I'm not successful enough, I'm not tough enough, I'm not whatever. Now there's these kids there who aren't even yours, and you understand like that. There's some other papa bear out there that's like, there's some dude running around with my kids.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, you don't want to be aggressive towards that. So you want to try and respect the other guy, even if he is a total piece of shit. You don't want to get in the way of all that, you know. And you also, though, you want to have that. I felt like women, when they parade their kids around too early, it's like, you're not ready to date that. But, you know, like I felt inappropriate with a couple of times just like, I don't think I should be meeting the kids within the first month of dating you. And I'm totally fine. But I think that when women give you, and I think men should do this too, like you need to have some kind of plan, some kind of boundaries so that you know, the guy knows like, hey, the kids are her, that's an off limits area until I've earned that right in the relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And that also takes a bunch of pressure off because now he's not trying to date this kid's mom. He can just work the relationship with you.
I want to piggyback off of what you just said, Dave, because it's really important that when you're first dating somebody, it's really important to get a good foundation of just the guy and the girl, separate from the kids. I think another mistake is a lot of parents, like, they talk about their kid, like, their identity is everything about the kids.
Kind of like
Yeah, so it's hard for the person, especially if they don't have kids, you know, to really feel safe in building a relationship with just, so that's the first and foremost. Make sure that you have that solid foundation beforehand.
These are all wonderful tips. I'm glad that I had you guys on to talk about this. And it just so
I just think you should put the kids in the closet and
just leave them there for a few months.
The end.
Put out the water and the food.
All the complications like go
don't
away.
You just how old do they have to be before you can just drop them off at the mall?
Like two?
Four, five?
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. Old Marty, enough. That
my kid's at the mall right now. Is that a problem?
No. I think the mall's right over there. It's fine.
Okay, so I have some questions from our listeners for Overanalyze This. If anybody who's listening wants to write in, write them in to ask at women podcast.
Oh my God.
What is wrong with both of us? Go
ask,
on. You say.
Askwomenpodcast.com.
Yes. Ask at askwomenpodcast.com. That was a tongue twister today.
You've said that 1,000,000 times, and I don't know why that just
I don't know. It threw me off today because I was reading something while saying that. I should not.
Ask at askwomenpodcast.com.
Yes. See? Exactly what Dave said with his great voice.
Yeah, he has a great voice, right?
Thanks.
He does. Well, it's a radio man.
It's kept me from having to get a real job almost my entire life.
Yeah, that's so unfair. Like, you're just born with a... You know, it's like if someone's a model. They're just born. They didn't earn that shit.
I mean, they did.
You just got it.
Yeah, but it's like I grew up in the same hometown as Brad Pitt. So it's a very it's a very easy thing to be like, Brad Pitt looks the way he does, but his brother looks just like him. He has zero Oscars. Doug Pitt has no Oscars.
Right.
I have to
he's good at what
right
he does.
Now.
And women
what does
think
he
he's
do?
Cute. He owns a computer
That's
business.
A bad name. Like you dug a pit.
Doug Pitt?
Like I dug a pit. It's like past tense pit.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, though. They also have a very great charity that Brad and Angelina are involved in a lot called Care to Learn. So they help school kids and stuff. But, you know, they're a great family.
Oh, that's
but the point being, though, just because
he's
good
looking.
Just because he's got the looks doesn't mean.
Yeah, just because someone's good looking doesn't mean they're going to be an award-winning actor.
Right. You got to put forth the effort, put yourself out there.
Just because I talk like this, I could be, you know, working a drive through somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, and I would drive through several times, listen to your voice. Bonjour, Kristen.
Yeah,
exactly. What did you say I ordered?
What did I order?
How much is it again?
Let me tell you.
Bonjour, Kristen, Marnie, voice of man and guest. My name is Dorian Griffin, and I'm a 23-year-old. I currently live in
Dorian.
Yes. I currently live in New Orleans, and I have decided to start cultivating my dating life so then when I reach my prime 30s, I will have the knowledge and experience needed to succeed. The podcast is wonderful, by the way. Now, I find that when trying to form a connection with females in my generation, they tend to say, I'm intense or overwhelming. But this is just
I can imagine. I'm already freaked by your email.
This is just part of my personality. I naturally have gravitas, and I have learned to embrace it. On the other hand, older women, 40 plus, seem to be extremely fond of me. And I the same. Some of these women are married as well, which causes me to pump the brakes. Since experience is the best teacher, should I play ball or continue to pursue the females in my generation? Merci. P.S. Apologize about the photo I had to retrieve. It's from Instagram. Okay, so this is a photo.
This is what dude looks like.
Oh, very cute.
Can we see?
Yeah.
I love when we get a picture. We rarely get pictures, but...
Oh, yeah. No, that helps to
fit,
get a visual.
Cute.
First off, I would say that if women are telling you that you're too intense all the time, you need to cool that shit out.
Yeah.
I mean, just turn it off. Calm the fuck down for a minute. I hate to say that, but I've dealt with friends like this, and they're like, why? I'm just trying to be genuine. Like, no, you sound like a psycho.
Yeah, I agree. I have a cousin who's not psycho, but he's super intense, and he's always been intense. And he found he's married and has kids now. He's a year older than I am. But he never really turned it off. But I think he just attracted a person that was into it. So I think he could go either way. If he wants to have more of a vast dating pool, you turn that shit off.
Right.
If you really want to narrow it down to someone who can handle that intensity and that kind of socially different person, then he'll have a narrower dating pool, but he'll also be more himself. Mm-hmm. So I think it could go either way for him.
Okay. I have a question. Like, he kept using French. Is he French?
I don't know.
No,
New
I
Orleans?
Think, No,
New Orleans. Well, because I just wonder if there's a different culture that we're talking.
New Orleans has a different vibe.
They do. Like, you have to think about just people's background. And I guess this is the therapist in me and just, you know, his upbringing. And maybe he came from a single parent household where mom was like a strong figure. And so he's attracted to mature women. And so I don't think it's as easy as, you know, cool the shit. And,
right.
So I think there's a lot of things. But I would be interested in what it is that he's doing, actually.
I would want to know what is to
intimidate. What is it?
I would ask that question.
I think I
come back when you do it and you ask. Exactly. You're not so overwhelming.
I think I do know what he's doing. You can see it in the email.
Like what?
He's speaking kind of like more sophisticated, and he's probably trying to, with these words, delve deeper into her psyche or something. And it's like, whoa, dude, like, we're just grabbing a drink. And I went to my therapist last week. Yeah. And I'm 21.
Yeah.
So like, you know, not everyone.
Talk about beer and tequila. Yeah. That's all I want to know.
Not everyone wants it. Not everyone needs the flowery language. And so he seems to me very theatrical.
He's probably quite intelligent. First off, like I think he's got a great vocabulary, smart. And so that's what I mean. Like when I said, you know, calm it down, like look at the elements of your personality that often cause those things and be like, is that really part of me? Or is that just part of the stuff that I do to try and portray the true me inside? Because I think it's easy to get caught up as a guy in this thing of like, the women my age don't understand me. So I go after these older women. But it's not really socially acceptable for me to date older women, and it's not practical for me to do that. So I get to live in this special cocoon right now of girls my age don't understand me, and someday they will. It's like living the fairy tale where, like, sometimes maybe you can make some modifications and not lose yourself. Don't lose the man that you are on the inside, but maybe some of the window dressing. Maybe you need to put a new coat of paint on your game.
Or maybe you need to hang out with other 23-year-old girls. Do get you a little bit more.
I just think if you want the experiences, you have to dumb yourself down. He might have to dumb himself down a little bit. I know on this like date that I went on, I totally dumbed myself down a little bit.
What do you mean?
How?
Like I didn't really bring out.
We're both disgusted.
Well, I mean, I was me, but not to the extent that I like kind of this neurotic-y. Neurotic-y, like awkward.
It's like the polite version of you.
Yeah, I was trying to be more flirty and more womanly and like more sophisticated or something. And
tell me about that crouton.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing too. I think he is trying to do that because
I think
he's
sounds like he's trying to be sophisticated.
He's listened to you guys talk about.
So we're fucking guys up. Is that what you're saying?
No, no. It's like
he's listened to your show.
Men hear women talk about wanting this deep, meaningful connection, and so
he's
a guy's
really
like first date, like I'm going to show him a deep, meaningful connection right at the beginning because that's what he's a doer. I can tell you're a doer and that you want to make things happen.
But then you're not going to get to doer.
Right.
Doer.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That patience to be able to like just let her know what she into. And then, you know, if you're saying that you don't like these women aren't interested in you because you care about different things, that's one thing. But if you're just being so intense, like
intense and overwhelming are very strong words for girls to actually come out and say, like, dude, you're being too intense. Mm-hmm. That means you're making people uncomfortable. Not I can't handle your personality. It's too like flamboyant for me or too colorful for me. It's that you're overwhelming.
You're coming at me too much.
And you're not paying attention to my cues. So there's something off where he's not either seeing his audience, listening and watching what's happening and getting a gauge for how what he's doing is being taken in by other individuals. So I would say to either ask or become more self-aware where you do see somebody closing off their body language. Maybe then you can lean back and ask a question and then listen to her answer as opposed to being overwhelming and too intense. And I agree, like with his email, you can kind of see that I don't think it's actually trying too hard. I think this is actually
But it comes across as trying too hard, that's who he is.
But
calm down. You're not trying to like finesse the queen
like,
or something.
The first time you talk to someone, unless you're both kind of in this moment, being philosophical and stuff is just a little too heavy. It's too heavy. Wait until it's really you. It's like you have to kind of earn that or something.
Yeah, you have to build up to that. Right. It's too intense and overwhelming.
It's like
to
level
jump right
jumping.
Into that.
To put it in New Orleans,
like, who do you want
to
be when you grow up? I would hate when I had guys who like went right in with the intense questions. Like, I don't. Who are you? I'm not finding this interesting.
Yeah.
At all. It's too much for me. Especially if you're going to ask me three in a row like this. This is too much for Busby's on a Saturday night.
Right.
I don't want that. Yeah.
In New Orleans terms, like you need to kind of come on like the brass band when they're going down the street. If they just rolled up. pointed the horns at you and started blaring like the middle of the song,
well, you hear
that's
going
to freak everybody out. But they're marching to a cadence, and they got a little bit of the drums, and the second line is coming in, and then the horns start
they're
playing.
Feeling
then
each
it gets
other.
Louder. Then
yes.
it builds. Then
Pacing.
Everybody's hooping and hollering.
Yeah, that's a really good visual.
Because that's what's happening is you're bringing the horns to the box right off the
and just
beginning,
blowing it in her ear.
Yeah, yeah. Just
I'm
just,
here. Just
like,
chill
finesse a little
out.
Bit and let that be part of your sophistication, that you genuinely understand the women that you're out with and that you're trying to seek it. So just kind of,
I like it. So Dorian, I hope that helps you. I thought that was very good advice. I like the visual of the second line.
Just make it like a jazz funeral.
I love it. Do you know I got married there in New
did
Orleans?
You really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm now jealous.
Oh, it was amazing.
Super
we
jealous.
Happened to be there on the weekend that randomly was called the French Quarter Fest, which is like a smaller version and more local version of Jazz Fest. So everything was planned out for us. Like, we didn't have to make any plans for all of our guests. There was music and concert venue
That's
set up
awesome.
Everywhere. We were right in the French Quarter. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
We didn't need the second line because there was like second lines coming by our building.
It was your party.
It was our party.
So cool.
It was awesome. Yeah. Okay. So I think we have time for one more question.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. All right. So fuck you.
There is going to be a fire drill here.
There is going to be a fire drill.
We gotta get out.
I have wanted
thousands
to be a part
of naked women are going to come storming out of this building.
Playboy.
With bunny
the
ears.
The Playboy fire drill, like. I'm just now going on through the rest of my life will be like, I was at Playboy when they had a fire drill.
Right.
How a bunch of naked bunnies.
And naked bunnies running around and the four of us. Thank you guys for being on this show. Dave Hine, the Dave Hine Show.
Dave Hine Show on iHeartRadio.
Awesome.
Saturdays.
And Kimberly Seltzer.
Yes, you can find me at seltzerstyle.com. Also on social media at Seltzer Kimberly and Kimberly Seltzer.
And happy single Kristen.
Happy single Kristen day.
Yay!
It probably won't last long.
Congratulations.
I'll be next week like miserable.
You'll get back together with him in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. No way in hell. Anyway, and keep having fun. Keep dating. And I love that you're going to be on the show talking about this now. I finally have a single girl on the show. It's perfect. Okay, if you want to write in questions. I know. Be a slut, please. You need sex
research.
After
it's
all
research.
That time.
I know.
If you want to write in questions for Overanalyze This, write to ask at askwomenpodcast.com. New episodes of our podcast come out every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. So please go and subscribe so you don't have to be a bitch and manually download every single week. You guys are awesome. We'll see you next week.